Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. It's Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst, coming to you from the Rainbow Room, high atop St. Pete Athletic in the factory. My name is Bill DeYoung. Today, our guests are from this brand new show that's just opened at the studio at 620. It's by Taylor Mack. It is pronounced Here, and you have probably heard of it. My guest before I go there is Stephen Reardon, who is the grand poobah of Dead Canary Productions, which is doing this show, and you directed it as well.
I did, yes.
Stephen's, I think, third time on the podcast, from what I understand. This is the start of the second season for Dead Canary. That's a good sign, isn't
it's
it?
Exciting.
You made it all this way.
I know.
I also want to introduce Tiffany Ficus, who has one of the roles in this show. She plays Paige, and we're going to discuss Paige in depth here in a minute. Hey, Tiff, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
I'm glad to see you. I've seen you in numerous things, and we haven't actually met before, so now we have.
I'm so glad.
Let's talk about Here. It is, I guess you'd call it a dark comedy. Does that work?
Yeah. Taylor defines it as absurdist realism.
Okay. That sounds like everyday life.
Yeah. It's reality.
It is essentially, I'm not telling you anything you guys don't already know. It's essentially about a dysfunctional family, a severely dysfunctional family. And this all happens during the course of, I guess, a single day.
One day, yeah.
In their rather cluttered house. Where do they live? What's their last name and where do they live? Do they have a last name?
So, and there is a production script that we saw that there was a last name at one point.
And is
last
it Reardon?
Or DeYoung? it could be Reardon, actually. No, it's actually Connor. And then in the script that is sort of for producing, that name is no longer in the script. So we never really talk about it. And in the original script, it says it's supposed to be somewhere in California. Mm. But again, the new script doesn't really have it. So I think what Taylor was trying to do is sort of make it this meta place in a meta city in a meta family, because family dysfunction is everywhere, right?
These guys wrote the book on family dysfunction.
Did they ever?
Isaac has just returned home from tour duty in the Middle East to discover his family has changed considerably. The matriarch is Paige, played by the lovely Miss Ficus Tree over here. She's basically everything. His father's had a stroke. His father, Arnie, is kind of there but not there. Basically, Isaac is horrified to discover that all the rules have gone out the window. There are reasons for this, as we discover, but Paige and Isaac's younger, who turns out to be a sister, and we're going to go there in a minute, Max. Paige and Max have kind of remade everything, including all the rules for the house. I don't want to give too much else away, but there was a whole gender neutral thing here. Max is transitioning and becoming a man, and I guess you'd say that. But what I thought was interesting, guys, is that as Max is undergoing this change, which is very profound, Paige is treating Arnie in a way that he's kind of reverting. Hmm. Going in the other direction. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
That's so interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think that Max, the title of the play Here comes from the neo pronoun, which you hear about in the play,
yeah,
which is a combination of his, him, and she, her. Max is transitioning to male. And Arnie, you know, I think what's so interesting about that, I didn't even think about that, but that's really interesting because...
it was the whole definition of... What is a man? You know, and I.
Well, it's
I,
right, yeah.
And I sort of got that out of it. Like, oh, look at this.
Absolutely. And Paige is, I think, maybe doing that to Arnie because she wants to, I don't know, make him a supplicant, right? Maybe mm-hmm. make him a little, not as powerful or as patriarchal. And so she has decided to really kind of take his masculinity away after this stroke.
She's, you know, all the shit she put up with, once you hear about it in the play. It's hard. I will say this, Tiffany, I mean, it's hard to root for Paige, but there was a point in the show. I mean, she's completely bonkers, but there was a point in the show where I went, damn straight, she's exactly right. Tell me how you approach playing somebody who is, unconventional like this. Is this different for you?
It has been very challenging for me because as an actress, you usually can find a little bit of yourself in the character you're playing. That has not been the case in this one. I'm happy to say there's very little of Tiffany in Paige. But I had to find the humanity in her. She can't be this cartoon character villain. What she's doing is awful, but you have to find the humanity. I mean, what would you do if you had a chance to turn the tables on your abuser? What would you do? What would you do if you had a chance to regain control for the first time in your life? What would you do? And so trying to get inside Paige's head and show the complexity and the nuances – that make her not, you're never going to sympathize with Paige, but you can at least try to understand how she might have gotten there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that it's been trying to find those moments where you, and bring out those moments where the audience isn't rooting for her, but they're trying to understand and have a little sympathy.
Why do you think Paige is so unified with Max? Max is involved in this whole world of gender neutral and the whole like queer fairy summer camp and all this stuff. But Paige is really in Max's corner to an extent where, boy, this is almost a strange relationship. Why do you think that is?
Because she sees Max can do what she couldn't do. She can change. She can become something different. Paige, she even says that in a play, because I saw my child change, I was able to change myself. So it might be too late for me. I'm doing what I can, but it's not too late for Max. I'm going to encourage Max to change and become all that she can be. And then together, we're going to change things together. Together, we're going to start this new life, this new passion. We're remaking a new reality. She sees Max as her hope for the future.
The thing is that most of the things she says in this show are insane.
Yeah.
Are completely insane. I mean, to me, as the audience member, it was like, really? and I felt bad for Arnie. And then I heard about what a creep he'd been all, you know, all their lives. And I'm thinking, well, you get what you pay for, you know?
Well, she even says in there, I mean, there's one point you go to a certain, you endure so much. And at a certain point you break. And Paige is broken. She's a broken human being. And she's not quite all there. She said that about Arnie. He's not all there. Paige is not all there. Paige,
I'm so glad you're in here today. I wish I talked to you before I'd seen it. You know, or maybe right afterwards.
Well.
I think the absurdist realism sort of tagline that Taylor Mack, you know, has decided this play kind of falls under is really specific around what you just mentioned. Is like, what is the wacky stuff that's happening? It feels so unreal at times. But then the way that Taylor kind of crafted the story of the family is such a brilliant way to remind everybody that if you go to see plays, if you've been to see plays, you know, from the Greeks on, they are dealing with the dysfunction of family in every way. You know, in my little director's note, I talked about how Edward Albee and Eugene O'Neill and Tracy Letts all have Pulitzer Prizes writing about dysfunctional families. And Taylor is a finalist. I mean, here was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize in the year that it was produced. So it's one of those things where Taylor has decided we're not going to step too far away from what people really love about that family dynamic. We're going to make it so absurd that you really have to lean in and be like, are you sure about this?
I know, but I don't want to use the word fun, but I will anyway. It's a fun ride.
It is.
You know, it's an interesting ride.
It's interesting, yes. You know,
it's a roller coaster, but the roller coaster's on fire.
Let's talk about Isaac for a minute, because Isaac really kind of comes into the eye of the hurricane. His entire world that he remembers has changed. He's also got some pretty serious issues.
Without a doubt.
As well. And it's almost like the pot can't call the kettle black. And Paige calls him out on this, of course. Like, how can you say that we're messed up? Look at you. I'm not giving anything away here, folks, but I did notice him doing a lot of this at the end. And, you know, you couldn't see that, folks. It's all right. Go see the show.
Thanks for noticing it, though. I appreciate that.
So I can't remember the name. I have it written down, and I can't find it. The actor that plays Isaac is?
Lucas Ethington.
Lucas, who was in here with you before when
we were talking about Drawer Boy.
Drawer Boy, yeah. That's right. Lucas is a fine actor.
He's a fine actor, and what I love about this guy is that the Drawer Boy was his very first time on stage, and that is not an easy play. And then he went from that one to here, which is an even harder play, and he shows up with such authenticity that as someone who's been doing this for 30 years, I mean, I look at him and I think to myself, if I had been that wildly talented at 28 or whatever.
And brave.
My God, he's so brave.
Yeah.
Like, he just is, he's a powerhouse. And for any, you know, if you've never seen him, or if you're wondering, should I go see this play? I mean, if just to see Lucas, I mean, Tiffany, of course, too. A lot of people have seen Tiffany.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in many plays in St. Pete. So, you know, if you love, you're a fan of hers, please come, you'll love it. But if you've never seen Lucas, it's worth it just to see his work.
You also have Newt Rametta in the cast.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely remarkable performer.
I know. Embarrassment of riches, this cast.
And I wish Newt were here with us today, and Lucas and Jonathan Van Dyke, who has the most thankless role in the play. He plays Arnie. But Newt, I've seen Newt in so many things and Knocked Out.
Knocked Out.
Was it a comedy of errors or the one before that do we call it Newt as he?
Newt is gender fluid, so go by he, she, or him, her pronouns.
Well, Newt was in this job site, Shakespeare, where Newt was the twins with Noah.
Oh, got it.
And with the little blonde wig. And
that's Twelfth Night.
It's Twelfth Night.
Yes,
okay,
yes, yes.
See, David Jenkins, I haven't learned it yet. but they looked exactly alike. It was brilliant casting.
And Newt is one of those people, too. You know, when we decided to produce here at Dead Canary, one of the stipulations in the script is that Taylor says the person who plays Max must have started as a female at birth and transitioning to male. And so I was really, really nervous and excited about finding the right artist for that. And I asked a few people in the industry and here in St. Pete and Tampa, do you know anybody that would do this? And every single person said Newt Rometta.
Oh, sure.
Said, you must call him immediately. And I did. And he didn't even read. I just gave him the part.
Newt's a wonderful human being. I don't know who Jonathan Van Dyke is. Basically, he has to hobble around in his underwear. And he doesn't have a lot of lines, but the lines he does have are very cool.
And he's doing a one-man show in that corner.
He's on all the time.
Oh my gosh, he is so good, and he's been a friend of mine for 20 plus years. We've never got to work together, but he's a great playwright. He's written a ton of things. He wrote Totally Electric a few years ago that was produced here in St. Pete and Tampa Bay. He has also been on tour, and he's just an incredible actor. And the person who was supposed to play Arnold, Travis Moore, who's my co-founder here at Dead Canary, he was unable to, so I had to cast it, and he just submitted. And I said, Jonathan, are you available for this? And he said, I am. I have 6 weeks available. And I said, let's do it.
Perfect.
It was great.
This family is so messed up, folks.
They are.
And it really is. What did you say? It was a roller coaster on fire. And as I said, I'm stealing that because that's just too good. If I still did reviews, I'd probably steal that line. But when I write this up for when it comes out, I'll use that line as if it were mine.
Love it. It's all yours.
Tiffany, tell me about Her Stories Told. What is that?
Like Jonathan and Dead Canary, I wanted to start... I have stories that I want to tell. I started out wanting to tell women's stories.
Yeah.
And then I, with all the division in our world, I thought I want to tell stories that make people think, that challenge people, that bring them together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about, we say, engaging hearts, opening minds, one story at a time. So I produced The Niceties at 620 in February, which people are still talking about. And it's one of those also that you spend, people either take one side or the other side. And at one point, we think this person's right. We think this person's right. And my point is that there's very rarely a right or a wrong, that there's so much of our life is living in the gray middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so the stories that I'm telling are about that. Like I wrote and produced and directed a film called Do No Harm that was at Sunscreen last week. It was showed at the AMC Sundial, and it was about abortion. And it showed, I had four different characters that showed four different nuances of the abortion story. So, you know, I guess I like these kind of topics that challenge you, that engage you and make you think.
You have a website?
I do, but it's kind of in transition itself.
Oh, I which gender pronoun do we use here for Her Stories Told? Her Stories Told.
Yeah, there we go.
I need to change that. I
love that.
I'm going to have to copy that.
But you have more things coming up down the road?
I'm working on a script about a sex trafficking survivor who starts a new life and her trafficker comes back to get revenge. I worked with a lot of nonprofits, so I'm trying to tell some of the stories of people that I've met along the way. So this is actually taking four or five people that I worked with and combining their stories into one movie. So
where are you from?
I have lived all over the place, literally, like six states and five countries. I went to NYU for theater, so I worked in New York for many years. I still split my time between New York and St. Pete, so I'm still acting in New York as well. But I've been here for 20 years.
You've been going back and forth to New York for 20 years.
I've been going back and forth to New York for the past 2 years since I became an empty nester.
Steven did that for a while.
I sure did.
Back here. That's a different story.
And I interviewed Tiff on Big Broadway Energy, my podcast, because I was so proud of her. After she became an empty nester, she decided to go to film school. And she went to New York City and went to film school. And I thought to myself, you know, she's not letting, an empty nest make her scared. It just makes her excited to do new things. And I think, you know, you said at the beginning of this interview, Tiffany, that you don't have anything in common with Paige. I disagree a little bit because I would say that you are fearless in a way that I think some people want and don't have the capacity to do. And I encourage everyone who's ever seen Tiffany on stage to come see here because her fearlessness in this role is really fascinating to watch. I've got to be on stage with her as an actor. And just to be able to direct her now and see her how she goes and is unafraid is pretty awesome.
Big Broadway energy. Let's talk about first of all, let's talk about your podcast.
Okay. Which that was a shameless plug. I'm sorry, Bill.
I would have done the same thing. is it Radio St. Pete? Who does it go out? Or I mean, is it? Are there other places? He says, stuttering.
Yeah.
Are there other places?
You can find Big Broadway Energy on anywhere where you find your podcast, Spotify or Apple iTunes. Just put it in, Big Broadway Energy. And it basically is just a podcast where we get to, I just stole everything from you, Bill. I mean, you've been doing Arts Alive for a couple of years
now. This is
where
I wanted you to go here. Thank you.
But, I have the opportunity to plug, the local things happening in St. Yeah. Pete. But another thing I love to do that I really am inspired by is we as artists in this area, we're so lucky. And it's not just about the art we create. It's about the community we create. And I always invite people to come on that are educators or that are people that are, writers or people that trying to comics, people that want to just continue to fuel St. Petersburg and Tampa Bay so people don't leave and they realize that you can have, I mean, that's why I came back to from New York. I wanted this community and I got it and I want to celebrate it on Big Broadway Energy. So that's what I do.
You and I are both St. Petersburg natives.
We sure are.
And we are a dying breed or a rare
breed. Very lucky.
We're a something breed. I wanted to talk about Dead Canary for a minute because this is, as we said, the start of the second season. Is that a milestone? Hey, we made it to two.
Oh, man. I mean, I don't know if it's a milestone for anybody else, but it sure is one for me and Travis. We've been through it, and, it's like anything. You're building it, the ship as you're sailing, whatever that dumb saying is. And, so we are doing it. And it's hard. It's harder than I ever thought it was going to be. Non-for-profits are hard to do, especially now that all the arts funding is gone. We've been waiting for our 501c3 for months now. We're trying to get that done. And that's why the studio at 620 has been so incredibly integral in keeping us afloat. Mm-hmm. They allow us to produce there under their umbrella while we're still working. And so, I think the second season is still going to be sort of a light season. We're going to do right now. We have this here in a show in November at the studio. And then we're looking for another venue for our show in September. And so, yes, I think it's I'm so proud of us. And, our goal is to, tell urgent stories, tell them with joy. I call it theater church.
Yes, I heard that. I think I heard it in the context of Avery Anderson. But yes,
the wonderful Avery Anderson who runs Tampa Bay Passport. But I call it theater church tongue in cheek because, I theater is very a reverent thing for me. I love coming to see shows. I love sitting in quiet theaters waiting for something to change my mind and my heart. And that's what we're trying to do at Dead Canary.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying it that way. I forgot where I was going. You filled me with inspiration here. It's funny you said, this season is light. I wouldn't call here a light.
No, it's pretty heavy. I meant light with the productions. As far as the amount we're doing, I want to get to four a season. We did two last season. We're probably going to do three this season. So hopefully next season we'll have the full four.
Yeah. What changes when you become a nonprofit? That's what you're looking at.
What changes really is your ability to raise money without having to, pay lots of taxes, and you're able to, kind of create non-for-profit theater and take donations in a way that feels more like investing in the actual company as opposed to, lining our pockets. Obviously, no one who does theater in St. Petersburg are doing it for the hefty pockets you receive. But,
of course, all the theater people in Tampa are
they're raking it in. My God.
Over with silver dollars.
David Jenkins, how do you do it? just kidding, David.
I always run into Carla Hartley at Burns Steakhouse. I mean, anyway. Love you, Carla.
Love you, Carla.
So to become a not-for-profit, you have to form a board.
You do. There's quite a – and actually, it's not incredibly hard, but what's so interesting is that since DOGE destroyed and decimated those departments that are sort of giving those 501c3 sort of certifications, we got an email from my attorney, who's the amazing Charlie Gerdes, who's giving his services for free, sent – sent all the paperwork in, and he just checked to see how it was. It's been like, I don't know, 3 months. And we got an email that basically said, if you ask again, you're going to the bottom of the list. So you're in the queue. Don't
well,
bother
you
us
get
again.
For not paying your attorney. I mean, let's put it down.
But no, I think ultimately we will get it. It's just now the waiting game, and we have to be quiet and patient. And I'm bad at that. I'm very bad at being quiet and patient.
That's another hallmark of theater people.
Right.
Totally.
So here is running through May 24th at the Studio 620. It is on stage tonight and all weekend. So you have tonight being Friday, Saturday
at 5 p.m.
At 5.
Yeah, we're doing an early Saturday matinee or an early evening performance so people can go out to dinner after. The Off Central Players does that, and I stole that from them.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
think it's a great idea.
I think Alan Mooney's doing great things.
Oh, my so. God. Alan Mooney is just, that place is amazing. If you've never seen anything at Off Central, go check it out. It's a great spot.
Yeah. And Sunday's
at 3
matinee
o'clock.
Is 3 o'clock. So yep. it's 5 and 3.
And 7:30 on Thursdays and Fridays.
Okay. And that will continue through the second weekend.
That's right.
Okay. Tiffany, any closing words?
No, just come see it. It's challenging, engaging, and thought-provoking for sure.
And what I thought was, I wanted to put this out there, too, before we're done, because it is challenging, engaging, and thought-provoking for sure, is that the whole idea of this sort of gender-neutral and transitioning and the pronouns and the here and the Z and all that is almost tangential to this story. I mean, that's not really what the story's about, even though it's presented as part of it, and that's great, that's fine. But there's so much more. There's so much more deep dysfunction.
So much more. And, right. and Taylor Mack even says in the play, Mack says, catch up. Gender's not even provocative anymore. It's just part of life. And I think that's why they wanted to make it so specific about, all these different things that the family is going through, because every family goes through stuff.
I don't remember going through all of this stuff with my family.
Well, there was different stuff though, Bill, and I know you and I go way back. I can ask Uncle Mark, and we can come up with some things.
He knows where the skeletons are buried, And so it's called Here Is by Taylor Mack. It is directed by Stephen Reardon of Dead Canary Productions. It's on stage at the Off Central in St. Petersburg.
Studio at 620.
Did I say the Off Central?
You sure did, because I said
back it. Back up. Thank you. It's on stage through May 24th at the Studio at 620. Thank you very much. And you want to go here. You want to go her. The studio at 620.org will tell you the show times and the tickets. But I like that 5 o'clock Saturday deal, too.
Me, too.
Because that's always frustrating with theater. I go to a lot of shows, and it's sort of like, you're going to stay home and eat dinner, honey, or we're going to eat at like 10:30?
Right.
What do I do? grab a slice of pizza or something, So that's a great idea.
I hope it brings people out because, Saturday night you can have a great night out, see a show, and then have some wine after because you're going to need it.
Lots of wine. Tiffany Flackus and Stephen Reardon, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks for having us.